is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 18th of August, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I have a brief message about the Public Procurement Act as we start the show. Did you know that the Public Procurement Act 2021 will take effect on September 1st? The Public Procurement Act replaces the Financial Administrative and Audit Act. Increase greater transparency and accountability in public procurement. It is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Now, it's a hot day today. It is hot. Look here, it's hot on the road. It's hot on the road. The traffic all over the place. The sun been up from 5 a.m. this morning. It's hot in town. Rawson Square was full of people. Full of people and disappointment and hurt feelings. Oh my, listen, it is hot everywhere. It is so hot, it even hot in the studio. Woo! Boy, I'm so happy I didn't put on my lucky jacket today because it wouldn't have made any sense. It's steaming in the studio. The news is hot. It is so hot. Then listen, I'm going to need somebody to make a special run to Mama Co's. I'm going to need 12 baggy and 14 cup. To share amongst the people in here because it's hot. It's hot bad. I'd like to introduce you guys to my guest co-host for the morning, Mr. Cecil Newry. Morning, Mr. Newry.
Good yawning this morning. It's always good to join you, Erin, and I see some provocative topics you have for today, and I'm excited about it.
Absolutely, and that was before I went into town.
Yes, I see you downtown recording.
Absolutely. I was going to go against the whole American Association Against Sugar and tell them that they need to recommend cup and baggie for the rest of the summer as a part of your daily nutrition requirement. Something got to work.
Do we still sell cup and baggie in the Bahamas?
Where you...
Part of Fox Hill now, we sell sodas. We don't sell cup and baggie.
You don't sell cup and baggie in your part of Fox Hill more?
No.
Well, how could Fox Hill... How could the home of cultural retention have lost that?
I don't know. I don't know if people just no longer trust people selling cup and baggy. But I could do with a good baggy right now.
Right, because I feel you. A soda is completely sealed.
Yes.
And you know that there's no chance of COVID getting inside your soda.
Yes, yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
You consuming it. But there are rules and standards for eating cup and baggy now. Maybe your MP didn't bring them to your community for you.
Oh, okay. So what kind of rules and standards you know?
Well,
about?
First of all, when you buy your cup or your baggie, you have to, before you consume it, you have to wash your hands and sanitize your hands. Then you got to rinse off the baggie. You got to wash off the baggie.
Got to wash the baggie too?
Yeah, yeah. Now, you don't necessarily need to use soap, but you need to give it a good run of water.
Mm-hmm.
Clear it off, right? But you must wash and sanitize your hands because you're going to grab up the baggie and squeeze the baggie and hold the baggie, right? So there are rules.
It's like eating mango now.
Right.
You guys got to rinse the mango off.
You're right. You got to sanitize your hands. You got to rinse the mango. Make sure the mango is very clean, especially if you're buying it from somebody and somebody else has touched it. So we don't have to get rid of cup and baggie, right, because of this new normal. We just have to remind children that the way that they used to do things has changed and has to change.
We need to have discussions like that. I've never thought about that.
Absolutely. I think that's what most Bahamians want and need, right? Now, so when I say need, they are used to learning in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about how do people change habits and behaviors. And so they need someone to help them modify or moderate their behavior.
Mm.
And they want somebody to encourage them in the journey.
Mm.
They want somebody who will say, hey, don't forget to do that, as opposed to, you keep forgetting to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
When we all know that behavioral changes and habit modification, change in a habit, it takes time.
Mm.
And it takes repeated practice, right? But like you say, these little conversations are the way that we move our communities forward.
So you do the same with Gnap? Just rinse the whole Gnap off?
Well, that's what you should do.
Okay.
Right? And then so what we say is to the people who sell in Gnap, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Remember, you can't just grab the Gnap, throw it in a sack, throw the sack on the ground, leave the Gnap outside,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then throw it in a baggie and sell it on the side of the road to people.
You have a responsibility then.
You absolutely do, especially if you're selling, like, if you're selling Scarlet Plum $14 a pound.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. With that money, we expect, and in fact, with that process, I buy it from you on the side of the road because I want to pop it into my mouth right away.
Mm-hmm.
I have an expectation that you have tried your hardest.
At least rinse it off.
To maintain a level of quality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's expected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the cup only costs 25 cents.
Yeah.
Right? There's a limited amount of energy that vendor could put into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that we have to give up on cup and baggie altogether.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to focus on shifting our habits, shifting our behaviors, and intentionally teaching and reminding and cajoling and encouraging young people to shift their behavior.
Okay, but before you switch topics.
Yeah, yeah.
Flavorade or Kool-Aid?
Boy, it depends on what your community can tolerate.
Okay.
I am actually pushing for a cultural shift, right? Where we make local fruit cup and baggie. Where we use a local fruit to make a lemonade to fill the cup and baggie. But that's going to require systems and structures, right? And it's going to require farmers having relationships with small community vendors. Mm. So those vendors can capture the produce at the optimal price before it gets dumped,
mm-hmm.
right? Or before it gets sold to the farm for the hogs and the pigs,
yes.
right,
yes.
as feed. Because if they could capture that fruit at that sort of third-tier price when it's still optimal for producing puree and lemonades,
mm-hmm.
then we could begin making local fruit lemonade. So next time when you come here, instead of asking me if it's Flavor-Aid
mm-hmm.
or Flavor-Rite,
mm-hmm.
then I could say, you want, is it going to be Gnap or is it going to be mango, right? Is it going to be Gnap or is it going to be grape?
Nice.
Something more traditional than that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It just take a little intention.
Yes. I like that.
And not the way we... Not the way we usually do things,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, like how we turn in left on red.
Mm-hmm.
We just put up a notice in the newspaper, put the light, one or two lights that say, you know, that allow you to turn left on red, and that's it, and mm-hmm. leave the people to be.
Yes.
As opposed to sitting and understanding that we have to help people to moderate their behavior. One, we have to get people to understand that they now can safely turn left on red, and then we need to get people to understand there are times when you have to moderate your behavior because people are going to attempt to turn left on red. Mm-hmm. And it's a continual conversation with the public, a continual conversation with your drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And on that note, early in the week, the police warned, since we're talking about little small community store and thing, the police warned that there's an increase in small businesses being targeted with counterfeit money,
mm.
particularly $20 bills and $50 bills.
Is Bahamian money or U.S. dollars?
I imagine. Well, you know what? I didn't see that. I imagine it's Bahamian, though. I can't imagine there's so much U.S.
Mm-hmm.
back in the economy so quickly
okay.
for that to be an issue. And so I just wanted to put it out there to people, pay attention. Look out, small businesses, even if you don't have the equipment to test the money,
mm-hmm.
use an eye test. Use a quick eye check and be careful before you get hit with some counterfeit cash.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Anybody want that?
No.
Anyone want that? Now, I invited Mr. Newry here today to talk about some of the pressing issues concerning return to school.
Yes.
Mr. Newry, have children.
Yes, I have children.
I don't have any. Technically, I have godchildren.
Yes.
I are responsible for five lovely raccoons that live in the bush by my house.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing very well. They have not starved.
Okay.
I've come close, but they haven't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have children. I wanted to talk to somebody who not only has been following the issue, like from a political commentator perspective, but someone who is a parent mm-hmm. and can speak to the concerns, the real concerns of parents out there. Because maybe there's some things that I'm missing. But one thing, as even as a student, as a former student, I could say, I am entirely concerned that school is starting August 30th.
Well, school doesn't start. Monday, NCA was in school.
No, man.
Yeah, man. They block up traffic. You don't want to go on that road at all. No, you don't go on that road at all. NCA have the road block up because of school already start.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What I'm concerned about is I'm concerned for parents. And so I wanted to ask, I guess the first question is, as a parent, are you satisfied with the dissemination of information, the rate at which information is being shared from both the public and private school systems?
In a short, no. I know for the child school, that's been slow. I'm excited when I do get information, but the last note I got is they're waiting on the minister to have his statement, and that they will finalize and then produce the information for the wider public. So we continue to wait. You see, the school fees came out, mm-hmm. right? The discount finally came out because you know you had to wait for that.
Oh, so you all are getting a discount?
110%.
Only?
110%. That's like $200. But anyway, almost $200.
So only 10% off, but it's fully virtual for now.
It's and that's what they haven't concluded. Mind you, I think it's going to be blended because that's what they did at the latter term. But they said that that's pending with whatever the minister says. And you see that the minister is indicating that and hinting toward it's going to be a blended school system. So I anticipate that's going to be concluded with.
Now, you sure that's what you heard the minister indicating?
He had a number of interviews. I've just saw.
Okay.
Yes. Based on the interview, he was speaking to Ace Newbold recently, where he mentioned that it's more going to be a hybrid system. So I'm assuming that he's going to formally state such and how it's going to work out today on his proclamations today.
All right. Yeah. I'm concerned because it's one thing you'll say. There's a lack of clarity.
Yes, definitely.
Right. And so another question I wanted to ask is there a channel or website or a space where people can ask questions and they are answered relatively quickly from the Ministry of Health?
I mean, not even from schools. And that's an excellent idea. Even, you know, like how they have those WhatsApp. Or even Facebook where you can put your question and then you get an answer later on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something I guess the ministry can invest in and schools can invest in. Say, send us some notes and we'll respond to you quickly or some mass emails. But the information is slow in coming. I'm waiting on the ministry to give some definite answers. We know that he said Wednesday.
Yeah.
Today is Wednesday, so we just wait until the minister addresses the nation, and I assume the rest of schools will follow suit.
And let me ask you another question. Are schools still penalizing students, for example, if you're in a blended platform, so it's half virtual, half face-to-face, or if you are fully virtual, are schools still penalizing students for not being in full uniform?
Yes. They're fully, definitely in a virtual environment, you would need to have the school shirt on, either the PE shirt or the school shirt in general with the crest. There's no home outfit that you wear. And definitely in school, you need to come with your hair cut. You need to have them come well-groomed and the right uniform and the right shoes. There's no ifs, ands, and buts with that. No negotiation.
Have any schools created a fund or created funds to support needy parents or students with needs in terms of uniforms and shoes, books and resources, given the current employment situation? Has any school created a fund that a parent can turn to?
And I hear you, and I do not know. However, I know that the social services have a program where you can get school uniforms, where you can get books. And I assume that those persons in need are aware of such and then put in the application. I know school soon starts, so I assume the MPs and the persons who are running it for constituencies will now start giving out books. I know that a number of the NGOs tend to donate books in general, and school supplies. So I anticipate all of that. And it's a cultural thing, and it's a seasonal thing. And I assume that we will start transitioning into that season where the distribution of such comes out naturally.
Right. Now, before I, when I thought I was going to be a pirate when I grew up, right?
Oh.
I was into bootlegging.
Right, so rum?
No, I'm a hasty. I'm not allowed to drink rum.
Okay.
Or bootlegging, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But music.
Okay.
And now I think about parents and students and books and the cost of books. And then not just the cost of books, but juxtapose that to the delay in the global supply chain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to allow students to borrow and copy resources, right? So like there's a textbook, it costs $100. My child, I can't afford the textbook. We ain't buying this textbook. Are any schools facilitating a sharing of resources and photocopying things?
Well, thank God we are a developing nation and not necessarily follow the rules that you cannot photocopy any book
uh-huh.
more than 3 or 4 pages, right?
Okay.
And chapters or so off. That's actually a copyright rule. But
yeah.
thank God we're in a developing nation and we could be, in quotes, yeah. exempted from such. We need to be reminded that libraries are still closed due to COVID, right? So that's that borrowing of books, the use of books, I don't think that's happening at this present time. So you would need to purchase your own books or have it donated. I'm a local, and that reminds me I need to collect some books. I tend to fill the little libraries, you know, the little booklets thing, and it's full with school books and used books that young children are able to claim and use. And even that was suspended by Rotary for a time being because of concerns of COVID. So it's interesting that you asked that. I do not know.
All right, so we need to immediately and urgently devise a COVID-safe mechanism to replace or to facilitate the public sharing of books, particularly in this time when people were using it to share academic resources for students.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. And I want to say to Rotary, I don't know how much more I could ask you to do, but I will continue to push the limit.
And kudos to Rotary in general.
Right. In fact, I want to say what I learned on the news last night is that Rotary, I think it may be a special arm of Rotary Bahamas, but Rotary has donated, I think, up to $250,000 to schools in Abaco.
That's nice.
School supplies and equipment.
Mm-hmm.
8,000 workbooks and textbooks from grades 1 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, our golden boy, Stevie Gardner, apparently donated a $50,000 generator to Moores Island all-age school.
That's impressive. You know, what it is for someone from the soil to go back and do something tangible inside a local community. And I'm sure Moores Island will appreciate it. I mean, that's something real. You know, that's not just books. That's a whole generator.
Absolutely.
And we know how light is in Abaco right now, and BPL trying to put a pole. So it's impressive that he did that.
It is absolutely impressive. I want to say, you know, thank you to Rotary. I will continue, though, to encourage us all to shift perspectives from a perspective from a charity-based culture and society to a society that focuses on economic reform and structural reform. So as opposed to ensuring that we can provide charity, we are focusing our energy on creating more effective and healthier systems so people have a better chance of succeeding on their own.
And I heard you call systems, and that's one of the critique and criticism that we have for the Bahamas that the systems do not work or we need to improve in our systems.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we expose Bahamians to systems from foreign and local, that they will start implementing their own systems that to make things work better for themselves.
And a cultural shift, an appreciation of how systems work, because when we focus on systems, we stop blaming people.
Yes.
Individuals.
Yes.
And we, because when we are able to blame people, we could shift the blame from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When we understand that our issues are rooted in systemic or system dysfunction,
mm-hmm.
then we realize that we also have an obligation
mm-hmm.
to fix the system.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, let me read some text, and then we're going to go to a break. And then when we come back from the break, we'll ask you if there's any more. Are there any issues, burning, urgent issues that you think should have been addressed by the government or the school system that hasn't been addressed yet? We start with this first text. Aaron, could someone please tell the... please tell the Morning Blend Business Show that their new theme song is problematic. And they don't like the gunshot in it. And they are asking you to consider something else. I read it because you sent it, Dexter. Now, the text, who's responsible for picking up dead dogs and animals on the roadside? The dog just past St. Albans Drive on Bay Street is 4 days old. The person said, unless, of course, it's a tourist attraction, in which case, don't get upset. Another text, good morning. I, a young man, walked around selling guava duff in many areas throughout this year. You spotted me on East and Shirley Street one morning and you didn't buy any, but you were so nice and respectful and encouraging. It made my day. Thank you. And that's what we could try to do. Now you look at me, you could see I fluffy. Yeah. You could see I fight not to say no to the guava duff. But you keep pushing, cuz, you keep pushing. You keep hustling, and you keep believing in yourself and believing in your product. I have another text here that says, I have a foreign client who invests in Exuma, and he tells me he can't get contractors to finish their work. They work one day, then you can't find them the other day. He's moving his investments to another island. I have a foreign client who invests in Exuma. Oh, okay, you sent it twice, three times. I'm sorry, I've read it now. Wow. That's heavy. Is there a contractors association in Exuma? Is there a contractors association in the Bahamas? You know what there is? There is the Registrar of Contractors.
Yes, there is.
And I maybe you need to make sure that that boy is working.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to go check him out. I recommend that you direct your concern to the Registrar of Contractors. And you also ensure that your client is only working with registered contractors. That's also very important. At the same time, if you are vying to be an MP in Exuma, then maybe a great initiative is to create professional training programs where you assist sort of amateur, hobbyist, and small tradesmen to improve their skills to become certified and then to become registered in that field so that they could take advantage of more economic opportunities. They can become qualified to participate in government projects. And then we can begin to create an environment where this sort of thing is less likely to happen. I got another text here. My God, Aaron, Stevie Gardner donated a $50,000 generator, and he was just born the other day. Those old heads who've been around here since King Hatchet was a hammer who only hoarding up money for children to squabble over should be ashamed for their cold indifference and inaction. Another text, great show as usual. I see we have a lot of murders in Nassau, but no one thinks that's important. Only COVID is important. Let's talk another text. Let's talk about the new proposed bill and how it speaks to future freedoms. Well, I tell you what, Texas, it's a great time to take a break. Mm. When on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about that new proposed bill. And because I got to ask my friend Cecil, what happens when it becomes a new prorogued bill, and will that bill survive the proroguing of the House? Arlington, it's a good time to go to a break. You guys, stay tuned to 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, a smart talk all day, and the hottest news about what's happening in the House of Assembly. We'll be right back.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Make it count this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Tita, go tell Bella. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green and Cecil Newry. And like I say, I invited Mr. Newry on the show to sort of talk about some of the more pressing issues as the school year opens up. For me, I'm just like, do parents have enough time to prepare? Have they had enough time to make the best decisions, to strategize? You know, has the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Health and the competent authority, have they presented parents with as much information in the best time possible for them to create effective strategies to manage their limited resources and their limited time, right? To give their children the best opportunities possible moving forward in this 2021-2022 school year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, and I ask you, you know, how you feel about it. And I want to ask you, what is the most pressing thing that hasn't been addressed that you think needs to be addressed?
I would like to know, what is the plan going on properly, and how much time will my child be on in the school program, right? Virtual learning isn't necessarily her best choice.
Yeah.
She's easily distracted, and she needs to stay focused. I do not like the virtual part.
Yeah.
I see where she lags behind, where you have to constantly coach her. Please concentrate. Do not minimize the school lesson and go into YouTube. So,
yeah.
Especially for such a smart girl, I'm concerned about that. And for her program, she had only one physical day at school and four virtual days, right?
Yeah.
Where since she's bright, she's able to manipulate the system and make it appear that she is concentrating and is aware of what's happening, and where she's not necessarily there and is present, right? So I'm assuming that there are a number of persons who went through that. But when she's in school, you see that her grades catapult, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the other one, she did pretty well with the virtual.
Yeah.
She likes seeing her friends. She likes technology. She likes paying attention. So I would love to know and see the data on what is beneficial to students, how bad, how good they did inside this platform. I would like to know if the school will adjust, realizing the grades, seeing the issues, and perhaps making some adjustment. I know that they have sanitizing stations. Mm-hmm. Right? I know they social distance. But I also know that there were times when the school internet fell down. Right? I'm not sure if they improved on that.
Right.
And such things like that.
Now, that's one thing that I expected to see before the rollout of the new school year, with the heavy reliance, with any reliance.
Yes.
In fact, any reliance on virtual platforms, but this heavy reliance on virtual platforms. I expected to see a statement from IRCA,
yes,
as to a new set of standards on requirements for provision of services in this new school year.
Mm-hmm.
I expected to see statements from the internet and cable, because there's some Bahamas Learning Channel, mm-hmm, right, from the internet and service cable service providers on the quality, the standard of service that they are going to provide, when people, what people should expect. Like, I expect them to tell me, look here, in this is when you should be doing the work. Don't wait until 8 p.m. to,
yes,
do the homework.
Yes.
It could be peak and overwhelm, and it just ain't going to work out.
And some suggestions to parents, too, what to look out for, what didn't work, what to improve on.
Right.
You know, I remember last year it was recommended that a number of students repeat.
Yeah.
Right, because they were missing. That went silent.
Right.
I don't know what happened to those students. I remember there were a number of students who were missing from the platform. Silence.
Yeah.
No one came back and said, well, this was what has happened. I know there were a number of students who didn't have devices.
Yeah.
And they talk about that. Silence. There's no one can come back to give us new information on,
absolutely,
these things.
Absolutely. I was going to stay away from this part of the critique, but I wanted to ask, you know, why is it that Minister Lloyd continues to look for opportunities to throw shade at people that are already sitting under trees? I mean, and here's what I mean to this,
yeah,
point.
Go ahead. Yeah,
okay, so there's an improvement of 11% across,
yes,
the agency grades,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But what does that mean juxtaposed to the performance of all the other, like, what does that mean, really?
I don't know.
Right, where's the rest of the information that helps us to understand
and appreciate what he's trying to say?
Right, because otherwise, the only thing you're trying to do is throw shade at other people.
Yes.
Who, some of those people who are genuinely concerned that some people would be negatively impacted in their exams, and maybe we should pause,
mm-hmm,
and give students more time to prepare.
Yes.
Right? Where is the report?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the information that parents and groups of parents can use?
And dissect.
To dissect and to strategize, right? Like, there should have been a briefing and a report from last year's performance,
yes,
so parents could decide whether they want to create pods,
mm-hmm,
whether they're going to create pods for the juniors,
yes,
and do the virtual and half-half platform,
mm-hmm,
for the senior students.
Do their children need more supervision whilst they study and be online, or less supervision? See, that was not done.
Absolutely.
And we're still waiting on that analysis to know that, is this system working? Is this system can be adopted moving forward for the new Bahamas?
Absolutely. Cecil, let's take this call, and then when we get back from the call, we're going to ask, we're going to move into the second segment of what happened to the speaker's school. Because it seemed like somebody tried to shut the school down early. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock. Oh, I'm sorry, caller. I'm sorry about that. Having little issues in the studio. It's hot. And they must see, no, I am about to hit menopause, buddy.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, today
flashes.
Is the day. Today is the day.
You're having the flashes.
Yeah, man. It hot.
Yeah.
It hot bad. Whoever's responsible for this heat, me and you need to have a meeting in an AC room. Better yet, a cold freezer.
Yes.
That would be even better.
Something cool to drink.
So, Cecil, part of the reason I sweat is because I rush here from Parliament Square and Rawson Square this morning.
Yes.
In fact, Arlington, don't go. I see somebody flash up on the line. Let's take that caller dead quick. Hey, caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, DeWitt. How you do?
I am blessed, man. And good morning to, I think that's Mr. Newry.
Yes, sir.
All right, good morning to you, Mr. Newry. Ms. Green, you know what I don't understand, right? You and Mr. Newry is on this station this morning asking about school.
Uh-huh.
Right? What's the date?
Today is the 18th. You got it. It's late.
Today is the, okay, now, you honestly think in the next couple of weeks, God spare your life to live, you can be saying the same thing?
Yes.
You have some schools don't have no kind, nothing, no dividers. You don't have nothing in front. Some schools don't even have sanitizers in the class, what I saw yesterday from a video.
Listen,
from
do it. People. But hold on, do it. I here's what I doing.
Wow.
The Minister of Education say we got 12 good days. Mm-hmm. He say he got 12 days. And he guarantee.
He did guarantee.
Everything could be in place.
Straight.
Everything. And so on the 30th, on the 31st of August, mm-hmm. or the closest open radio day, weekday, you can call me and then we can have this conversation.
But Ms. Green, the thing about it, right, do you realize that the president of the teachers union ready to do what she has to do? So, okay, what is the backup plan? What is the backup plan for all of those students who wants to learn?
No
worries. What is the backup plan? What is the alternative plan?
The backup plan is parents.
Just to sit home and create a bunch of criminals?
No. We ain't creating criminals. Don't say that.
No, Ms. Green. I'm speaking hypothetically.
I know what you're saying.
Ms. Green, let's be realistic. You have children out there who idle. And senior, you would agree with me with this. They are idle. And they need they need that face-to-face learning attention. When you do not create that, Ms. Green, I'm telling you from a person who been around boys, you creating monsters.
Thank you, do it. I agree to it. You're right. They do need the attention.
Yes, ma'am. And keep up the good work, Aaron.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. And that's one of the other issues and one of the other questions I had, right? Are parents on their own looking to create pods mm-hmm. for the students, especially working parents who cannot stay home? Have they been able to figure out what an effective pod situation like?
I know you're using vocabulary that some persons may not be familiar with, right? But once they expose and understand what are the options and what it means and the dynamics, I'm sure that they will be willing to adopt such things.
Right, and so a pod is basically, you take 5 kids, mm-hmm. maybe preferably who are all in the same school or who are all in the same on the same syllabus, right? Maybe if they're all in the same grade, that's better. But if you bring them together in one workspace, right? But what you do is you coordinate your lives. So mm-hmm. if there are 5 kids from 2 different households, those households commit to restricting their movement to no outdoor activities except what's absolutely necessary. Go to work, go to the pharmacy, go to the food store to protect the children. So to make sure that there's to limit the chance of the children contracting COVID and passing it on to each other in their pod. But you create a pod, and hopefully you have an older student, like somebody who's 15, 16, or 14, who can manage their own schoolwork and provide some oversight for mm-hmm. the other students if there is no adult to watch over them, right? But you create a group or a pod of students that work together and maybe share computers or work in one home for the day, and then the kids go home to their house or the neighbors go home to their house. But that is the sort of structure that may support a lot of working parents, because that's the next dynamic. The last time we did this, most parents were home.
We're home, yes.
This time we're doing it, most parents are either at work or desperately
hustling
or trying to find work.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the options for parents that cannot stay home?
And don't forget, we had persons and communities who created makeshift schools.
Right.
In order to provide internet and tables and chairs.
Yeah.
Will that continue, or were we able to solve that issue?
Right.
And I think that it's a little late in the game to not knowing if that issue still exists.
Well, it have to exist.
Can't still exist. We had a whole year and summer break. We should be able to say, okay, I remember that you helped us we open up your community school, but this cannot continue. So we have now created a system where you can move these people from this environment and to a better environment.
See, here's a problem with a plan that only relies on vaccinations as a solution.
Yeah.
You still can't vaccinate children under 12.
Yeah.
So what happens to the most vulnerable children in this situation? And when I say vulnerable, what I mean is 12 and older, to some degree, you can leave them home or under partial supervision.
Yes.
12 and under, They need 1,000% supervision.
Yes.
All the time.
All the time.
And because they're not vaccinated, it's more difficult to talk about bringing them into the school system safely with teachers. And it's for the little kids, the risk is that they may be asymptomatic and pass it on to teachers mm-hmm. who are more vulnerable or who may take it home to family members who are more vulnerable.
It makes you more concerned about the preschools that we do have here. And remember, they are open in contrast to open 9 to 3 every day in contrast to schools who have that that virtual and blended system. Preschools didn't have the blended system. They just went to school. And especially in this Delta age now, Delta Plus age, I'm not sure we addressed that risk. Like, what is the plan for preschools, younger children, up to 5 years old?
Yeah. We just need to expect parents. See, it's all kind of stress and trauma you are putting on people or allowing them to experience unnecessarily,
mm-hmm.
right? This is a sort of what we call financial trauma and financial crisis where people are overwhelmed with the concern of where am I going to get the money necessary to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a psychological trauma, which is like, I sit near trying to figure out how to get money, and I don't even know what I'm going to need to spend the money on, but I know I'm going to need to spend it.
Yes.
And there's another psychological trauma, which I'm sure that all parents go through, which is, I am expected to solve problems for my children and give them the best step forward in life. And here I am feeling totally overwhelmed
mm-hmm.
due to a lack of information, a lack of access to resources, and uncertainty about what the way forward should be. Mm. Right? And I wonder if people in the Ministry of Education, in the Ministry of Health, in the government, in the competent authority, because the competent authority is supposed to be a board, a team of people,
mm-hmm.
right? I wonder what are these people thinking about? And what do they think ordinary people are thinking about? Okay, we got 7 minutes left, Cecil.
Yes.
Are we supposed to be talking about the House today?
Yes.
In fact, I titled the show Parliament Prorogue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark. Speaker silenced.
Yes.
Question mark, right? So I went out to Rawson Square this morning to check out the open parliament.
Yes.
I got there a little early. I wasn't sure when it was supposed to start. I didn't know what was happening. So I got there a little early, like 9-ish,
mm-hmm.
and I went live, and I just basically watched people setting up.
Yes.
Movement of people, the media, reporters, lots of police out there, and people setting up. And I needed to get back to the studio. So when I shut down my feed and I turned around, there was outriders.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost a ceremony.
Yes.
And then I realized that there were about 3,500 officers who come to deliver this envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized that they probably actually are going to prorogue the House.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what does that mean for the Speaker's open parliament?
And that's a good question to know. Technically, there is no Speaker. But first, we need to understand what prorogue is, right?
Right.
And first, there's like an adjournment. Then there's a prorogation. And then there is the dissolving of the session in general.
Okay.
So we know that the German just basically terminates a sitting. You know, you're having a House assembly and you say, okay, we're going to adjourn for the day
right.
until the next sitting. And now we have the prorogation, which basically suspends the session.
Okay.
So we are having the session suspended, meaning that when we come back, all things will be brand new. And that means that we may have a new Speaker of the House. All the bills that was pending and that we're going to debate.
We may have a new PM?
No. The PM's still there. He's
okay,
a judge.
Okay, cool.
But use hope. I see you living in hope.
We may have a new leader of business in the House?
We may have a new leader of the business of the House because they've reset up everything.
Ah,
it's going to start with Parliament again. So we may have a new Speaker.
Okay.
We may have a new leader of the government business. We may reintroduce one or two bills or just forget about them all together and say, man, let's start something new altogether.
All right, so this new bill to entrench provisions from the COVID emergency orders into ordinary legislation that cancel.
That cancel right now.
That finish.
If they want to bring it back, if they decide to bring it back, they can. But they don't necessarily have to. You know?
Right. Well, I mean, they should really consider it. Not bringing it back, because why? But more importantly, what does that mean? Does that mean it's more likely that we're going to stay under the state of emergency until the House is called back into session?
Well, we are in a state of emergency until the House is called back. So it's not if, that's what it is.
Right.
And so you notice that no date of when the House is going to be called back in session has been given.
Well,
we just wait.
See, that now that's one. A, that's my concern. B, when I was out there, big trucks is passing. They did not care that a big move was happening right then.
Mm-hmm.
So I could barely hear what the commissioner was saying from where I was standing. Wow.
And
so there's no date.
There's no date.
House, and
it could be from now till next week, next month, 2 months, 3 months, that they can bring back the House of Assembly. It could go, I know we're supposed to come back in September.
Right.
It could go beyond September, go October, November, whenever they feel froggy to do such.
So essentially, we could be sort of stuck in this state of emergency until somebody decides
that we're going to come back now and start over.
Wow. So what does that mean specifically for the speaker today?
I heard that he's going to continue his program, but at this present time, there is no speaker because there is no House.
So there is no open parliament?
There's no open parliament. So, but he can go through the machinery of it and see what it is. But there's no recording of the event to say, well, this is an official event. Because, you know, the speaker controls the House of Assembly.
Yeah.
And that notes and documents would have been recorded for the benefit of the House. And since the House has been prorogued, he's doing all of this for his benefit, not for the benefit of the people.
So let me ask you a question. You think minutes mean to do this to Moultrie?
Yeah, man. There's nothing wrong with that. This is an astute politician.
Pause.
And
there's nothing wrong with that in the world of politics.
This is politics we're talking about.
No, we're talking about governance.
No. Governance is what the government does, and when they're in the House, they're in the pursuit of governance.
Right.
But the House has been suspended or prorogued.
3 seconds before the envelope got there, it was about governance.
Yes.
And as soon as the envelope got there, it is about politics.
Okay, let's go with that. Yes, that makes sense.
So look here, I got a caller on the line, and I got a couple of texts responding to the conversation about returning to the school year. Darlington, let's get to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your guest is explaining nicely. I just thought that there was a 21 days situation, but apparently it's not according to what he said. But I called when you mentioned about psychological effects.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some children in the presence of their parents saying they don't want to go back to school because they're afraid of vaccination. Not necessarily COVID vaccination, but they're thinking that under the guise of the other vaccination, mm-hmm. they will be given COVID vaccination.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very big concern, and we need to figure out how to address it in the most sensitive way possible. And it's also important for adults to hear this. What the callers just said. This is cause for us to moderate, right? To moderate ourselves and our public discussions, and to think about the way that what we are saying impacts other people, particularly young people, who are even more vulnerable in this pandemic because they have less of a grasp on what's going on in the world and far less control or decision-making power over their own lives than the adults around them. Thank you so much, caller.
You're welcome, ma'am.
We are right at the end of that hour. I see we got one more caller quickly. We are out there. So I'm going to read these texts. I want to thank you for sending them a quick text. My name is Randolph John from Construction Services Group, and I'd like to reach out to the person in Exuma to address their concerns. So I'm going to take all of you guys' information, and I'll connect you after the show. Another quick text. In a normal year, The government can't get schools ready after waking for a whole summer. Are we really expecting these schools to be COVID ready in a few days during a pandemic? I won't hold my breath. I will patiently wait for the teachers to strike. That's more of a guarantee. I was going to say, the one thing I know in the history of the world is that the schools always take long.
S.E. MacPherson doesn't look like it's going to open anytime soon.
I just want to know how the Minister of Education, just so brave and bold, he boldly proclaimed that by August 30th, everything will be open and ready to go.
We shall see his speech today.
We shall.
He may change his mind.
Well, the Aguilar disease going round. Mm. As another text here, as we close the show, I think that more parents need options like that pod idea. As a semi-retired teacher, I wanted to check into that as a helper for that option. Where can I go?
Look at that.
Listen, let me tell you where you could go. You go online right now and look for a local homeschooling association, or go to the Ministry of Education, because local homeschoolers have to register at the Ministry of Education. And that's where you start the discussion on how you can be help us aid in that type of pod situation. And to all the parents who have already successfully navigated this first year of COVID, please use social media to share the things that you have learned, your best practices, right, with the Bahamian public, especially with parents who we don't know may be struggling to help their students survive the next school year. I see that's my music playing there, Arlington. We quickly ran out of time. Just like the speaker ran out of time this morning. Boy, Minnis, you was quick with that one.
Astute.
That's what it was, eh? Them Outriders was quick, though. They speed that there to the house. Anyway, can't take up any more time. It's been a wonderful day. I haven't sweat to death yet, but the day has not finished, so you know where I'm heading, to my community store. You guys have a great day. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Thank you to my guest co-host, Mr. Cecil Newry, for adding so much information to help these parents out. Have a great day, Bahamas. Thank you.